allowing us to share. After the service there, we don't really want to run through a whole slideshow and bore you that way. We wanted to maybe more introduce you to some of the people that we shared our time with and get a better picture that way. So we hope that you may be able to connect and something that we speak of, you may be able to think about, and God will prompt you on how you can be a part of this partnership, because it just wasn't about us going, but it's about this church. So at the end of the service, there will be a slideshow that we'll run through, maybe, if the IT does that, of other photos during our trip, and you'll be able to get a picture of the Thailand things we did. Some of them were on Facebook. And also afterwards, we're going to actually go out to a small Thai restaurant, cheap, just to have a meal. And if anyone here is not doing anything for lunch and would like to talk to us more about it, we'd love to share with you. It's just down in Salisbury. We'll go down there. But you're welcome to join us, anyone. We would love to have you share with us. So enjoy what we've got to share this morning. As we introduce you to some of the people. So I'm going to hand over to the boys, I think, between Nathan and Grantley. And, we're going to go through a bit.
Thanks, Alison. This could go anywhere, folks. So we've nearly driven Dylan mad this morning, the guys up there. Well, Dylan, we'll roll the first slide. So I started out by trying to create a bit of a movie here, but, well, it peters out, as you'll find out. But 20th Century Fox and Parafield Gardens Uniting Church present a Thai adventure. So when did we leave, Alison? What date was it? July?
July the 5th.
July 5th. And we flew back to Melbourne. We had to go back to Melbourne. We flew Singapore Airlines. And then to Singapore. We were overnight in Singapore and then on to Chiang Mai. Yeah, correct. Now, I know that a lot of you will know these people, but these are very special people. Here is, here's Dai and, of course, us there. And there's Jumnong, husband and wife. And they're at, name of the town, please, Nathan.
Banyan.
And there's Pastor Bu and Pastor Nobuchai. Bu here and Nobuchai. And they were out getting on 2 years ago now, I suppose, perhaps 20 months ago, and enjoying what we enjoyed there, a lovely meal. And food is very special. We'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. Thanks, Dylan. So it's co-starring Alison, Nathan and myself and lots of happy children. These are... Morden is not there, but there's Will and Essie there, and Cho, Dai and Jumnong's children, and they nearly drove us nuts. We went to
Mortoner is in the middle there, Grantley, in the swimming.
There he is there. He's a very playful boy, Mortoner, if you may remember him. And he will jump on you. And Nathan, tell us about this water adventure.
They took us to a waterfall and they charged the tourists three times as much as they did Dai and Jumnong. And Dai and Jumnong wanted to shout us a trip, so that was a bit painful. But we went to this waterfall and just got in, had some fun, and started sliding down the rocks and getting really scratched up. And the boys loved it, and about it.
It's a lot of fun. Thanks, Dylan. Now, food. Food is so important to the Thai people. And Dai would. This is not Dai's cooking. This is us up in Chiang Rai, I think, that little restaurant, I think. But Dai, it's funny because I don't know about yourselves. When we have people over, you might have a roast or perhaps a couple of dishes. And the Thai people, there's about six or seven. And, of course, invariably you find yourself eating that for breakfast too, and rice all the time. And, Nathan, I have two things in my pocket here that might remind you of a place we went to. Now, we are not going to have a chili-eating competition. But I have to tell you that we ate seriously hot and have continued to do so. Have you continued to do so, Nathan?
No, I'm done. That was good.
And toned it down a bit.
But
everything
we
was
always,
a competition.
Yeah,
everything
we always said we wouldn't have a chili eating competition, but it was a chili eating competition most of the trip between Grantley and I. And, yeah, I'd been to Thailand 3 times before and Grantley hadn't, so he suffered a little.
Nathan, tell us, it was fun. Nathan, tell us about Nobuchoy and what he's doing there, please.
Well, Nobuchoy, he runs the church. He's a pastor in Hue Nanil, and he reaches out to a few other churches, Takin Tong, Hue Phi, and a few other little villages around Hue Nanil. And so he is the guy making churros there. So he's full time at the church, but he lives part time in Pastor Crasson, so Boo's village, making churros during the week to support his income. And so he goes up to Hue Nanil for 3 days a week and lives up there in the church. So that's him making churros and making, like, everybody loves him. He always sells out down in the big village with Boo. And so he has a really big role in Hue Nanil. A lot of the time with the kids and the children, as well as pastoring the church there. There's probably about 30 people in the church generally. They come and go because they have jobs in Bangkok and elsewhere in the cities. He said now his job, like, he's living in the church. He's got a house just down the hill a little bit, but mainly his job and his wife's job is looking after the kids when everybody goes off to work. And so he gets to do Sunday school and teach them and do whatever he wants with all the kids, just looking after them during the day when their families go off to work in the cornfields. Because if people had been at Hue Nanil before, they would have seen forest all around it. And pretty sure there wasn't bitumen road 8 years ago when I went last. And now there's no forest and cornfields. So the government's cleared probably 2 km up the mountainside from the bitumen road, and now it's all cornfields. And so the village used to be bamboo huts and with banana leaf roofs, but now they're Besser brick houses and tin roofs, and concrete roads, and bitumen roads all the way through. So they're developing really quick, but I'm not sure they're keeping up with the environmental issues, and, like, they can't drink their water anymore because of the chemicals in it, and the hillside, like, the mountainsides have massive erosion marks down them, and they're having to sow their corn fields up and down the mountain and making it worse because they can't get their tractor across the gutters. So they've got, and that's Dian Jumnong's aim, is to do sustainable farming and teach people how to work that. And so even though they're getting more economically they're growing economically, they sort of need to keep developing with that structure. And so Hue Nanil is certainly improving, and they've all got enough food now and they can buy motorbikes and send their kids to school elsewhere. But yeah, they sort of have a... might be developing too fast for what they can handle, it seems.
Environmental problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's... I think they know about it. The village that we talked to, Nopachai and a few others, about what's happening and how they're doing it. And they're growing pretty steadily. And that's why all of the kids are now getting looked after by Nopachai and his wife, Jeep. Yeah, because everybody's got land now, so they didn't have much before, but now they got a lot because it's all cleared and they've all bought up. So,
So they're looking at ministries. We had the chance to talk to them about the playgroup ministry here, because one of their questions was to us, you know, how do you think a future we could use that in their future, because the childcare centre that we were a part of, Powerful Gardens, were a part of putting funds towards. So we talked about the playgroup and what they thought about children's ministries and what they could actually do. And Jiup was really, really glad to hear that. And we've been praying with them about that and how they can use that in their days forward in connecting with the village.
And they said they all come to the church because it's got shade too. Mm. There's not many trees left, and so they all come there to the trees and the shade and to play. All the kids come up there to play. So it's a really, really good opportunity to start growing that church through the kids, yeah.
Thanks, guys. Next slide, please. The colours of Thailand are amazing. This is in Chiang Mai, and we were just walking through the streets. And what we understand is that they buy these once a week, I think, Alison.
Daily.
Sorry?
Daily.
Yeah.
The gifts.
As gifts to their gods. And but the colours are just beautiful and quite vivid. And we're really taken by that. Thanks. Now, to give you some perspective where we are, you may be familiar with Thailand, but I thought I'd pop this up. Here's Thailand here in the middle. So you've got Cambodia in that southeast corner, Laos and Vietnam running down there. And it runs down the Malay Peninsula, Singapore being at the bottom here, and bordered by Burma. So kind of tucked in there, quite a lineal sort of a country. And where we landed, landing in Singapore, we flew up to Chiang Mai, which is up the top, and ventured over to Nan, which I'm not sure is on there, but more over this way. So we were predominantly in the north of Thailand. Coming back from Nan, we caught the train. This is on our way home back to a town called Prayer, which has been appropriate, isn't it? Prayer. And that was about a five-hour journey. And we drove to Prayer and caught the train to Chiang Mai, and that was great. It was just lovely to see the country and sit with the people, and just a nice way of travelling. All right, thanks, Thomas. Now here we have Vic and Goh. I'd like you all to say that. I'd like you all to say Goh. One, two, three.
Goh.
Thank you. Now we didn't know how to spell it, but this is Goh. Two lovely Goh young men, brothers, and they were Compassion Children, and Compassion picked them up, and that they were our, what shall we say, they looked after us every morning. We got up, and I've got a little video in a moment at the back of here where we would eat in the morning, and our every whim was their delight to do, and we were able to bless them before we left. And this is Song Say. Now Song Say is a beautiful man my age. And he's an elder in the church. And he was with us quite a bit of the time. And I was a little bit relieved. I feel the heat a bit. You'll see a slide soon walking up Prayer Mountain. And I was quite chuffed to know that Song Say was as hot as I was. And it showed. So we'll get to that in a minute. But Alison, would you like to tell us a little bit more about Compassion?
The Compassion, you can see the building on the that we helped build a couple of years ago, but this little hut thing has been built by Compassion, and people in this church are supporting Compassion Children, and there's still two people within this Thai church that actually are still wanting sponsorship. So if anyone is keen on that, there's two boys who have come, you know, who need your support. So, but they have built this little hut. And before, they told us they were going to open this hut in January when we had a meeting with the Compassion staff. And the way they looked after us, we gave the boys a gift, Vic and Goh, when we left. And the following week on Facebook, that hut was opened. And I'm not sure where the funds came from, what they needed, but, you know, we know that we supported them because they just blessed us so much by being there. And so that's a little, everywhere in Thailand, there's these cold drink huts. And so these boys have, one's done hospitality and one's in doing a uni course. And they came from homes, they're still supporting their very sick mum. But the same as Pastor Boo, has come through compassion. So I didn't know a lot about compassion, but I learned a lot more. And just to see the fruits of it that are coming through your support. So these boys, yeah, they're doing amazing. So I see they're on our Facebook as well, so you might see they're selling these drinks as people just go past, but that's the way that they're supporting themselves at the moment.
Thanks, Alison. Thanks, Dylan. So here we go again. It looks like the arrow is actually pushing Vic's head over. That's just how he had his thing. Lovely guys, just lovely guys. And just as an extension to what Alison said, I'm almost certain I know where the funds came from. And we wanted that
and
to be a
your
personal
funds.
Thing.
They're your they're funds. Your they're funds. Part of what we took.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Dylan. Now, this is the story, special guest appearance from Mei Lin. Now, Mei Lin is a tiny person. We're not sure what her condition is. She's, diminutive in stature, but her heart is not. Now,
her smile's not. Her smile's not.
She just has the most gorgeous smile. And so we went to her house, and this is her mother here, her elderly mother. And, of course, we asked Boo, what happens when a mum becomes elderly, and there is a plan for that. But Mei Lin does some artwork, and she gave us two pictures. And, Pastor Barry, with your permission, I'd like to frame this and put this somewhere in the church. Quite vivid, and I love yellow in paintings, and so it just appealed to me. We were really touched with this. And so we were able to bless Mei Lin and her mother. And of course, when we got there, well, they did what Thai people do, and there was another meal for us. So we took that back. We were overwhelmed with food. And they do what they can do, and Mei Lin gets around in a rather aged wheelchair, I would have thought. So, you know, there are just needs there. But she was there on Sunday when we were presented to the church, and she just never stopped smiling. She's just an amazing person, 42 years old, and just an amazing person. It was just a delight to meet her and see her again at church. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dylan. Nathan, I have a job for you now. So introducing the three allowable sitting positions in Thailand. This is just before your body is totally shattered. Now, yeah, that's just a bit of Nathan Grantley humour. But there are three positions. Nathan, could you demonstrate for us the position that you're not allowed to sit in Thailand? Thank you.
Hold that.
He doesn't know about this. In Thailand, you are not allowed to sit. So they sit a lot on the floor. You're not allowed to sit with your feet out. Is that right? Yeah. And so, hang on, Nathan. So Nathan, I want you to demonstrate the three positions.
Grantley's better at this.
Because he can't do it.
Well, I can. So I'll do one. So
the challenge is...
You can sit like this. And of course, church goes for about 2 hours. Or you can sit like this. Or you can sit like this. Now, Nathan said something, and we had lots of laughs, and Nathan said, I've just worked through the three positions, like over the last 2 hours, and my knees are shattered, you know. So, you know,
said that word. That was Grantley's word. He said it every 10 minutes.
You do actually feel it in your hips because largely we are bigger people. And however, so this is a village church, Dian Jumnong's village church. I hope to roll a bit of video soon of a tune that you will recognise. And So they're the three allowable seating positions. We couldn't work out any more, so we were just about done with those three. Thanks, Dylan. Alison, would you like to talk about the kids?
These are the children at Dian Jumnong's home, and people here also sponsor these children, as well as Dian Jumnong's family. Some of us met Dian Jumnong when they came out in April, and you know that their heart is for God, their heart is for community, and I guess what binds us together with them is their love of Jesus and their hope, like the song said this morning, their hope for the world. So they have a huge hope for these kids and their futures, although that time's coming to an end because of the changes in infrastructure. They don't need to stay in the villages now. They can get, there's little mini buses, government changes. So these children are coming to high school and they're going to be going back to their parents soon. So we took the time at Dine Jumnong to be thinking about what does their future look like, because this property that they live at, they can only stay there while they're doing community work and community project. So really, to develop anything on this property, unless they actually own it, it's probably not going to be the best option. So we've been talking about and praying that through. But these kids, we love them. They're great fun. Their week looks like a 5:30 morning with a half an hour quiet time. Some of them, majority of them are from Buddhist families, so when they go home at the weekend, they're going back to a Buddhist family, but during the week, they're in a Christ-like situation, and where Dine Jumnong are teaching them the love of Jesus through whatever they do. Wednesday night, they have a Bible study during the night, and on our farewell, we didn't put that in, but we sat around and we sung. Jumnong is great on the guitar. One of the boys is great on the guitar. And they sung for us and they made us welcome. We passed on our gifts from the kids here in the GLOW program. But they're just lovable kids. But their time is coming to an end, and we're talking through what that looks like for them and how they can still share the love of Jesus in that community. You know, we know they've planted two other churches. But they want to stay. You know, it's a village 3 hours from nowhere. You know, not many of us really want to stay there, but their heart is for that community and the sustainable future for them. So, yeah.
And I think they're planning on doing, keeping the village sustainable and farming and changing their view from looking after kids, because the government's now doing that, them driving kids from the mountain villages down to the schools. And so their job of looking after kids during the week and during the term, because they can't get to school, is nearly invalid. So they're starting up home churches. They've got churches in villages close by, and they're looking at growing those, and also helping. Like, Jumnong's passion is farming. And so helping do that sustainably without chemicals, sort of, in a way that would help the environment and themselves at the same time. So that's sort of where they're looking at going out. Like, they've still got 2 years of looking after these kids, and so they really just want to do what God wants to do, and so they're happy to do whatever that is. But they're also trying to plan as well, so, yeah.
Nathan, Jumnong would quite often mention the word chemicals, wouldn't it? It really upset him, the amount of chemicals used. Thanks, Dylan. Yeah, got a little bit of video here. Now, this is just after the village church we went to. We hopefully have got a video coming up of singing there. We're on the way up to the new... where they want to plant a church. And I think, is that our next one, Dylan? Oh, here we go. For the sideways slide there. That's our fault, not Dylan. Of course, you recognise the song. And that's just wonderful to be there. And this is what it looked like. And Jumnong leads with guitar. He's very talented. And the young fellow, he's not in this slide now, he's the pastor of that church. And of course, we didn't understand a word he was saying, but we got the gist. And lots of praying. And then we walked up the hill. I think that's the next one, Dylan. Yes, and this is the land. Now, I had a bag of dirt, which I cannot find anywhere. I declared it through customs, and of where the church site will be, and we're praying for that. Here he is here, the young pastor. Do you remember his name? No. So, and so they're hopeful of of building a church there. So very exciting for them. That was about a 20-minute trip, wasn't it, through uphill and down Dale, because everywhere's green, so different to our what we're used to seeing in Adelaide. Thanks, Dylan. Do you like to talk about this?
Well, this is the funds that we took. We didn't actually take, because you had raised so much, we didn't take it all in cash, so we did a certificate. So that was just the evening then we were leaving. We gave the funds to go towards supporting those children there, because even though they are getting on with it, it still is a struggle. They have a lot of needs still, and so these funds are going to be used greatly. And they were very appreciative. Very appreciative.
Thanks, Dylan. Now, in introducing the ancient art of rice planting. Now, this is where Nathan came into his own, being a farmer. But, you know, I'm pretty sure it was new. Well, it was new to me. And this machine here is, Nathan, a plough? Like, what is it? That mixes up?
Yeah, it does a few things, but mixes up and then smooths out the paddies, and they put a big plough on it if they need. Yeah, I think it's a multi-purpose.
I gave it a go for about, I think I went up and back once, and the thing nearly threw me off. But Nathan was really good at it, and we had some videos somewhere. I don't think it's here today. But here's Jumnong, and Alison referred to him. I said, Jumnong, why do you dress like that? And he had this, he looks like a samurai, does he not? And because when you're working behind it, the mud splatters over you, and he's this... knife thing he has in his back there is for cutting down the weeds on the side of a rice paddy. Next one, please, Dylan.
Also for cutting the heads off of snakes that are swimming around in the paddy.
Not to mention the snakes.
After telling us to pick up the eels, which look exactly like snakes. So we didn't know there were snakes there until we cut the head off of one.
A lady came past on her motorbike. She had a little basket, and she was looking for eels, like a real delicacy. And of course, We got these. Jumnong's bringing them over, and I'm putting them in the little basket. And I'm thinking, pretty sure these are going to be on the table tonight. But Di didn't cook the eels, but
not while we were there.
No, not that we knew of.
Yeah. No.
Nathan, do you want to tell us about this process here?
Well, they just chuck rice out onto a tiny little paddy and water it for 4 weeks, and then they pull it up, tie it into little bundles, and then after you smooth out the rice paddy, or dig it up, get all the weeds off of it, because there are weeds in the background, they haven't been planted. So you smooth that out, bury all the weeds, and then plant maybe 5 or so rice together. I'm just pushing them down into the mud every 30 centimetres or something, and do that all day.
And work so backwards. That's when your back gets shattered.
Yeah,
the knees go. The knees go while you worship, and the back goes when you're doing the rice. But the community, I think that's what one of the things. Every time we looked out the window, there was people in community planting rice. You know, one morning there was nothing, and then you see these. You look out, and there's these 30 people, smiles and whatever, being in community and laughing at us because we had no idea, and that stupid rainbow, that rain thing, I don't know, that they insisted I wear so I didn't get wet. I was twice as hot in it. But I think, you know, that's one of the things. It's just community. We just loved how much community. We don't actually... They think we do that here, but well, I don't know if they do, but we were just taken by it. Our hearts were so warmed by it.
These photos here are at Coolanookin, are they not? And one of the elders of the church owns this land, and of course, employs the wrong word, I think, but they all come out and they all sow. So we turned up and we just couldn't wait to get into it. We seriously, it was just so much fun, and we just felt, I mean, I did, I just felt at one with the people, and we got in, and I hope we did some good. I actually got pulled up for my method. I wasn't rolling my wrist as I put them into the ground, but, you know, it's quite a traditional thing. And we found out the importance of rice to Thai people. I said to Jumnong, you know, what will you get for this crop? And he looked at me really strange. You wouldn't sell your own rice. They keep their own rice for themselves and husk it and all of that stuff. And that's what we were eating, their own rice. And then are able to give rice, bag of rice, to other people in the community. You know, you can imagine that's quite a gift. And so... kind of almost a sacred thing, rice growing, kind of very much a part of village Thai people's DNA. We really enjoyed this. Thanks, Dylan. This is Kununukun Church, just looking out from the fellowship area. Near the rain on the roof.
And this is the building that Parafil Gardens helped on some of their trips build.
See the church soon in the background. Here we are. Coming up here.
That's that little hut there, coffee hut that they're working on.
And so we would eat there in that area, and mate, you know, it was sort of new to me because in Thailand and Asia there are not many walls on buildings because it's, you know, you don't have that cold breeze blowing through like we do here. Kununukun Church.
They got 176 compassion kids that they support through this church, or that they run programs for, and. Boo was actually, like the pastor there, was actually a compassion kid who grew up through that program and then became a pastor through that. So, like, it has a massive impact. A lot of these people, very dedicated Christians because of the program and, want to work for God when they come out, like Boo, Goh and Vic are all... really passionate to do what God wants them to do, and it's a really godly program, the compassion program. Like, you just think, oh yeah, I'm supporting a compassion child, but they spend, the people who look after them spend all of their life just thinking of what they can do better, and and keeping all of the band for the church are all compassion kids that they've trained to sing and to play instruments. And yeah, it's a massive part of the church.
Mm. And yellow kids. Wasn't actually the church colour, as you can see with the yellow that we were given. Yellow is actually because it was the king's birthday month. So everyone is wearing yellow because, they honour the king as well. So there's just yellow, gold and yellow clothes everywhere for that month. So, and they honoured us by giving us these yellow T-shirts that are just, they don't say godly words, that's just Narn. That's just the province we were in, but...
This is the first night in the fellowship area, and we had a suitcase full of gifts. Do you want to tell us about that?
Oh, well, we took some gifts over, and thank you to Gracie, was able to find some soccer shirts, so we took them over. But they were just so grateful. They love soccer, as you may know, or if you don't know, they love soccer. So it was very exciting for some of the younger ones to receive them when we gave.
They were very excited and sort of scrambling through them, so...
And they were yellow, some of them. So yeah. It was a bonus.
We better keep moving, Dylan. So this is Prayer Mountain at Kununukun. Now, I don't know if I look hot there, but here's Sonsei, and he looked as hot as I did, which I took a bit away from that. There's no breeze, and we're just a steady climb up through the mountain. Man, it was hot. But Nathan, would you like to tell us about Prayer Mountain?
Well, I think they saw... they're very spiritual, all of the Buddhist people, and so they believe in all these evil spirits around, and this mountain here was off limits. Something happened and they thought it was cursed, and so Boo and his church decided to make it theirs and put a cross on top, because they all use the high points. Similar in the Bible, they always build temples and whatever on top of mountains, and so the high points are really sacred, and so this is the church's sacred spot to go out and pray for the village and pray for the town and the people around. So they really valued this spot,
and they do that several times a year, many times a year.
Prayer walks. So
and Pastor Boo's here on the left. He's very calm, Pastor Bill. I couldn't get over how calm he is. And he loves tradition. And so we placed a rock here. We each placed a little rock there. And those things are easy to forget, but they're kind of symbolic of where we were. It wasn't the other mountain. Did you just mention that, Nathan?
It was the Buddhist
on the
mountain.
Other side?
Yeah, yeah.
You just mentioned that?
Well, there you go.
I mightn't have been listening.
There is a Buddhist prayer sort of mountain right across... from it. And I think most peaks are, considered sacred and special. So,
thanks, Dylan.
Because they have the good potassium in them. Mm-hmm. Let them just rot in the garden.
Mm-hmm. You can plant.
Probably don't listen to the words,
no.
But...
Everybody understood them.
Oh, well, the net left very dry.
Yeah, but when I buy bananas and the banana peels...
We were actually cooking bananas. It's one of their... They love to put bananas on those little things. So this was out at one of the elders' farms. They thought... we'll have some bananas for a treat, for morning tea, more food, and lychees.
This is just symbolic of us getting around with Boo and visiting the local people. Dogs everywhere, everybody's got dogs. So wherever you go, there's food, and they were just roasting these bananas, just delicious.
And that is Boo's ute at the back, which get as many in as we can.
Yeah. We saw rubber trees and how they produce rubber and collect rubber. Thanks, Dylan. More rice planting at Kalanukan. Here's the other elder of the church. Well, I cannot remember his
name. Somke.
Somke.
Mm-hmm.
Somke, lovely, lovely man. He was there the first night and had been an elder there for a long time. And wonderful. It's Nathan doing some good work there.
And
a very funny hat on.
They've probably written off all of our paddocks, but I think it means so much to them. Like, it's better than a birthday, it's better than Christmas. It's just the best thing out to have us come and visit and help them out. And yeah, they all just come and watch and laugh. And it's a lot of fun for them. Like, it's a real blessing for them. It's not a hassle at all. They don't see it as a hassle. I'd see it as a hassle. Looking after three white people that have no idea what they're doing and feeding them constantly, etc. But they just love it. And so we get blessed by them and they bless us just as much, and it works really well. Like, we don't have to be doing anything for us to bless them, and they don't have to be doing anything really either. It's just a lot of fun.
Well, Nathan, that might speak a fair bit about Thai people's humility. You would have thought we'd have been an interruption, but we were kind of esteemed wherever we went, and who were we to be that? But and thanks, Nathan. Now this is Nobuchai, Pastor Nobuchai here on the right, and this is his dad. And I don't know what happened, but he plays a musical instrument that is a gourd. Is that right? Like a little pumpkin thing on the end. It makes the most unusual noise, possibly the most annoying noise in the world, but. But it was funny. You know, have you ever been somewhere and someone's doing something, you want to laugh, but you know you can't. But anyway, he's a funny guy and loves God. And so this is in Hugh and O'Neill Church. I got that right? Yeah.
Yep.
This is in the church, and we were sleeping next door. Next one, please, Dylan.
We're sleeping next door. We're sleeping on the tiles.
You were sleeping on the tiles. And here it is. And you can see the cross, which lights up at night. And we were just right in the back blocks. I know some of you have been there. Right in the back blocks of Thailand. And you just really don't have a care in the world. Life just goes on and people have time to talk. And they really do community well. They just give each other time. No bells are ringing. It was quite unusual for the world I know that I live in.
And that... concrete road goes all through the village now. I remember last time I was there, it was all dirt and just massive ruts and whatever, but that ends up hill just a smidge more, but the whole community now has concrete roads like that.
The congregation where the children are, where they have so many children at the moment. Well, so many, there's a lot. And they're thinking about programs, how they can connect the church with the children in the village. That's where we also built the kitchen some time ago, and we visited them, of course, because... It doesn't matter what you do, they seem to remember all the time of what you've done for them, what you've done here for them. It's just revered. Yeah.
And the childcare centre's just down the hill as well, and they have plaques for Powerful Gardens Uniting Church up for eating area there in the kindy and shelters, and it's just they really value everybody in the village values. This church, believe it or not, like it's a big thing.
Now, Nathan and I went out to Takin Tong.
This was our fourth lunch for the day.
I'm not kidding you. I think now Alison was a little bit ill, so she sort of had a.
I was had too much food.
had a day just laying down, I think, and we went in and checked on her. And of course, Boo runs a very. I mean, if you were a travel agent, you'd have trouble putting Boo's schedule together because you really are on the move. And so we're in the ute, and we went round this windy road. And you'd been here before, hadn't you, Nathan?
Yeah, a long time ago, maybe 12, 14 years ago, yeah.
And I forget the lady there, but of course the food came out again. And
well, that's about Chochiam, which some people may remember.
Yeah. Chochiam. And so, you know, we had to partake of the food, and so, yeah, but right in the back box there.
And we probably went a bit hard on the first lunch because we were thinking it was probably the only one, but that was a bit silly. We were still getting into the gist of the village life, yeah.
And as Nathan's mentioned, the hills are bare there now, where that would have been forest some time ago. So that doesn't actually show the erosion, but some of them really showed it really bad. So by clearing it and going for an easy crop like corn, what their future looks like, we're unsure.
And so corn, they sell as a cash crop, and then they plant rice as well down near the rivers. So they keep the rice generally or give it away if they've got enough. Rice for themselves and then sell corn. But they seem to still run out of food pretty easily. And so this church here had a big garden out the back of it using their spare land, and they said it's for the village people. So the village people come up to the church quite often when they run out of food and take what they need. That's a sort of an evangelism tool for this church. And this church just... I think we're taking a photo from the kitchen area, which Powerful Gardens supported and helped them build. So that was a big thing as well, to prepare the food there. So there's a lot of... I was amazed at how many things Powerful Gardens Uniting Church had been involved with. So.
And of course, wherever you went, Nathan, you were not Nathan, you were Nahan. And you can see how well people know Nathan and known him over the years, and he is Nahan. Of course, that's what we started calling him. Thanks, Dylan. And praying for the sick in Yunanan village. Now, this man here, he hadn't been up for 4 days, hadn't been vertical, and we walked in. And so it's quite a natural thing. Boo, the way Boo is with the people is just so... You can see that he's highly esteemed, and he's so natural, never rushed. And he just said, "Come on, we pray for him." And you know, in my everyday life, I don't know that I'm doing a lot of that, but it just seems so natural to do it there. The man looked really dehydrated to us, and so we encouraged him to have some water. And that was in the village. I think that's our last slide, guys. Right, Dylan? Thank you, Dylan.
And I think the best thing about Boo is how he links all the churches and all the villages and all the people together. He's a real people person, and so that's what he considers his job, is to go around and have lunch with people and chat. He's really, really good at that. And he gets really deep really quick. Like, he's not afraid of sort of going into people's houses and praying for them. And like, he's a really, really good pastor with connecting. Like, this isn't his church. This is the churches he's supporting through Nopachai. So, he's really passionate and cares for people really well. He's he's flat out all the time. But he, like you see in those pictures, he's happy just to sit and chat and then quickly move to the next one. There was no break at all with Boo. We were completely shattered by the end of it. There you go. That's the first time.
As you can see, Gregory and Nathan had lots of words that sort of they egged each other on with, and shattered was one of them, because it was a bit of a hard slog. But then you got up the next day and it was like, you know, it was good. So it was just a blessing. So we hope we haven't bored you too much. There'll be some more slides afterwards. Just quickly, three, I don't know if anyone just wants to say how God spoke through that. And, you know, we'd love for it to continue in some way. We'd love you to connect some way with these people. There's still many needs there. Before I left, we were talking to people about how what we were going to be doing there. And beautiful little friend of our family, Summer, we were talking to her and what we were going to be doing. And on the night we left, she gave me a little drawing and it had some words on it. And it had a cross in the centre and it had hope and it had about God's love. And that summed it all up. And when I gave it to Di, she was so taken that we were actually, that trip, we were sharing with people here what we're going to be doing. And people who knew very little of what they, who they were or of who God is or whatever, it meant something that's how us talking, Summer had seen that's what we were going to be doing. We were going to be sharing God's love. And I think that's what Di and Jumnong are doing, and they're appreciative that you're helping them do that. So that's sort of how I feel God's been speaking. Barry's been talking to us the last probably 18 months about what's God been saying, and I've been thinking about that a lot, and I think you know, it's good to be saying that to myself. You know, what is God saying? How is he speaking? And so that's one of the ways I feel he spoke through this Thai trip for me. So I don't know, the boys got anything brief, because we don't want to hold you up anymore. Anything?
Well, I'll just say, any preconceived ideas I had about a mission trip, I'd been to Cambodia with Rich Gardner, with 2H Project, were completely just put out the door. I think as busy as we were, it was strangely relaxing, and you just enter into Thai life. I read a book years ago called Flat by Tuesday, and it was about people, when we go off to a seminar, you know, we might go to a men's camp or whatever, we come back and, you know, we're going to take the world. And by Tuesday, we're back to normal life and back to work and everything. And it hasn't felt like that at all for me. It's just sort of got in my DNA, I think, got in my blood. So that's how it is for me.
And I think the impact that we have just by chatting with them is the biggest thing that we can do. Like building a building, they can do that easily. We just get in the way, probably get in the way most of the time. But they really, really value, like, it's the biggest thing to them, just having us over there and being able to chat with us and share their lives and pray together and sort of do just talk about the Bible and verses, and like they really, really value it. And yeah, like they're translating all the time for us, but they have such energy for God that they don't really care how much work it is. They're just happy to do something with us for God, I think, is the overall feeling I get from visiting them. Yeah.
And as you can see, there's some gifts here that they've sent back with us. There's one particular one here that I want to give Barry. That comes from the church elders. That's another one of those, one of those useful cloths. So that's for the church specifically for us, as well as there is the way the Christian church started in Nan. So that's specifically from the elders. I think we didn't realise how much we were revered on through the Kununukun church and that we were representatives. So, but there's other things there. If you want to take something, you're welcome to. Just one of the way they blessed us and said, take them back to your people. So please take something if you'd like. So, and please talk to us more afterwards. Come to lunch. We would love you to. But, yeah. So thank you that we could go on behalf of you. And if there's another trip down the track, I don't know. I know it's very much in Grantley's mind, but, you know, come on board if you can, or support some way. So thank you.